Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.thegologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow thegologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat. Good morning, everybody. It is Saturday, October 10th, year of our Lord 2020. I'm here in the audio chat with Farce Value. Good morning, Farce Value.
Good morning, Ed.
Your audio is perfect.
Oh, that's
very deep, very clear, very well resonating in my head. This is the time slot for the fart podcast, but there's no farters today. I don't know why. I did not get a message from down under, so I have no idea what they're doing.
I've noticed that for like 3 weeks now. Maybe they're locked.
What have you noticed?
I think, 2 weeks ago, I came back. I didn't log on early, so I went out and did some things and came back about 9, you know, our time, and there was nobody there. And I thought, well, maybe I missed it. They didn't, you know, it was too late. So last week,
yes,
I got up kind of early and looked, and there was nobody there. I'm like, oh, maybe something changed. And then the same thing this week.
So last week we were here.
I didn't see anybody last week.
What time did you come in?
Maybe I'm confused. Maybe I missed last week.
No, we haven't missed a week. Actually, they've been very consistent. That's one thing I'll say about them. They're very consistent.
Well,
but this is an inconsistency today.
Okay. Well, okay. And are you kind of saying that aside from us, there's probably only Australians or New Zealanders on the call?
No, well, Exoterra Rick is a Kiwi that hasn't been in Kiwi land for a long time, so I call him an Aussie, and I think he would call himself that too. But other than that, consistently wise, you're consistent, you're a regular, I wouldn't call you consistent. You're a regular, and there aren't too many at this time that are up and at 'em and ready to chat.
Yeah, I'm a pretty early riser, so it seemed like it had been working out pretty good.
But I know Uncle Odd will be here. He sent me a telegram on Telegram. I like that app, by the way. You should join.
New to me. New to me, Telegram.
Yeah, go on your phone or even on your desktop. You can download Telegram. Mm-hmm. It's just another messaging app that's not Facebook, that's not Apple, that's not Google. That's its greatest selling feature. And it's also more aggressively developed, so they're always adding new things, unlike WhatsApp. Once WhatsApp, which was the number one app in the world, was bought by Facebook, development just stopped. And that's one of my biggest beefs against these tech companies. They are like governments. They get so big, bigger than government, they start telling the government what to do, and they stifle innovation. So any improvement, any innovation disappears with the acquisition from these big tech companies, which are themselves probably controlled by the oligarchs and their intelligence agencies.
What kind of improvement would you expect out of, you know, you got text, voice, call, whatever, like, what more do you want them to do later?
I expect the unexpected. There's just all kinds of nothing is perfect. Everything needs improvement upon. It's just like people are settled on the science of this hoax virus. There's no settling science or innovation. It's never done. It's always a work in progress. And if we just let the technocrats just say, this is your food, you eat it, you shut up, then are we ever going to get anything other than the normal gruel? No. So I just noticed in Telegram there's a whole bunch of new features that I never even saw because I joined the Alphabetic Telegram, and I can tell this is gaining momentum because a lot of my favorite places I go to, they're mentioning Telegram as an escape route to go to when everything gets blocked or censored or shut down. And I found new features in the Alphabetic Telegram group that I didn't even know existed. And now I have to figure out how to get them into the Fakeologist and the Uncle Odd Telegram group.
Okay, well, I'll look at that.
And you don't need to reveal your phone number. You can use your username. And it's more private, more privacy. And I know the fact that since Apple is actively working against Telegram, then I know they're on the right track.
Yeah, I've kind of had enough of the Apple Facebook. I'm trying to work with Apple with doing some things that I want to do for my music stuff, and it's just, I don't know, a lot of Apple users are really committed to that platform, but coming from something like Windows that's more open, and I find it...
Well, I don't like Windows either. I hate Microsoft, Bill Gates. I hate everything Windows represents, but it's a dominant force. If people started to gravitate towards Linux and there was more there, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, the limitation with Linux is just people don't write for it. I guess they don't see the market for...
It's not as much. It's the old chicken and the egg scenario. Which comes first? Do people go to Linux and just wait there? Or do people go there when everything is there?
You'll be waiting forever.
Well, maybe. I mean,
like the stuff that I use, digital audio workstations, Pro Tools, and Logic is an Apple, but there's a bunch of them. I use Reason and Reaper.
Yes.
Reaper might be written for Linux. That's an open source. So I haven't looked into that, and that's a pretty good one. But these very involved things that charge, you know, $400 or $500 by the program, and $200 or $300 for updates every so often, and that have,
yeah, that's reasonable.
You know,
those are real costs.
Plugins and everything. They're not going to write for Linux because the user base just isn't there to make it worth their while. It doesn't seem like.
But again, it's chicken and egg. What comes first?
I understand. But my point was, if you're Windows, forget Bill Gates and forget the privacy stuff. I mean, I've always, you know, been under the hood with this kind of stuff to a degree. And it's simple drag and drop things. That's like on an iPad, it's a nightmare. It just, you have to get some kind of third party app. You have to go through the iCloud and upload and download.
Oh, yeah.
Like on Windows platform, you plug in a USB drive and just drag stuff on and off. There's no issue. It's just like part of it. But like that, and on an Apple platform, it's not nearly as easy. You know.
Well, I just don't like Apple because I don't want to pay extra, and I don't like the fact they censor things that come and go on their platform. That's not what they're supposed to be either. They should maintain technological integrity between software and hardware so it doesn't crash. But after that, their job is done. And the fact that they won't even allow FakeoTube for iOS on their platform because they don't like the content is the antithesis of freedom of speech. And if they're really an American company, they should act like one. Okay, just give me 2 minutes, my friend. I'm going to take a minute. Well, the best part about no one, the Australians not being here, is you can get a word in edgewise today.
Yeah, that's good. It would be interesting to know what's going on there.
Well, how do they know what's going on?
Well,
they're not in Victoria. I don't even know what's going on in my own province.
What about Melbourne? I've heard stuff about Melbourne.
None of them are in Melbourne. Melbourne is on the other side of Australia to them.
Yeah, we wouldn't.
So they wouldn't know any more than you.
I reached out to Kayham a couple of days ago, and she's going to get back with me, and hopefully, I got an email from her.
Oh, would you do me a favor? You're a big Farce Value, or you're a big, or you were a big Hoaxbuster fan, Chris Kendall, mm-hmm. I believe. Is that true?
Yeah, yeah.
I just did an interview with Walker. He called my satanic line 810-666-1984 yesterday, and we had a chat. Anyone can do that, by the way, if they don't want to hit me up on Discord. And by the way, I do sound better on Discord because of the fidelity. That's fine. And Marcus Allen thinks Walker is Chris Kendall sped up on a voice morpher. And I just didn't get any of that.
I don't know. It's strange territory to be in with this whole, you know. I mean, yeah, reality confirmation is always a good thing. I don't know how suspicious that Chris story that we heard from his sister of, you know, could be possible.
Seems sincere.
Is it just totally out of the realm of possibility that somebody could have an accident and bleed out? I have one friend of mine that his standard for judging any of these media events, he asks himself, well, could that happen? which is a very low bar. Yeah, all kind of stuff could happen. Yeah. You could hit a golf
ball. Is there anything in the event that makes it not able to happen? That's a better way to judge it. Anything can happen. But is the story presented to us? Are there things that could not be true?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, whatever, Jimi Hendrix dying. Like, whatever the case may be, we've never heard that guy play or sing again after the last recordings they say he made. That's, you know, we've never heard it. He may be around somewhere. He may have retired.
We've never heard him perform under that moniker ever again. Yes,
no, we've never heard anybody sound like that ever again.
Okay.
Nobody's performing like that under another moniker. And at least
okay. He
doesn't sound like that anymore. That's gone.
Yeah.
Like Eddie.
All
You're
right.
not going to hear anybody sound like Eddie again, I don't think. Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure Eddie's dead, but you know, it was pretty well publicized that he was battling throat cancer, and by his own admission, he lived a real...
Well, there was video proof that he was a smoker. There was enough video evidence that the guy killed himself smoking. We all know, I think everyone knows someone who smoked themselves to death, an early death. I know lots of people that did.
My dad died almost the same way. He had lung cancer that eventually spread to different parts of his body. And
yes, your body can only take so much of you.
He had chemo once, and then they seemed to have put it in remission, I guess I would say. Then a few years later, it came back, and the second time, it was really fast. It threw him really
fast. Did he stop smoking after the cancer treatment?
He had stopped smoking for quite a while before he got it the first time, but he never changed his diet and lifestyle, and he kind of always
crappy
food and didn't exercise and was overweight. And
it's not easy.
That's one thing I've noticed living down here in Florida is you don't see a lot of very overweight, really old people. That's kind of unusual.
You don't see old people in Florida?
No.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Rubelisk, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
No,
so you said you don't see old people in Florida.
You don't see really old people that are very overweight.
Okay.
80 plus 90-year-old people, if they make it that long, generally they're not very overweight. You know what I mean? Like the people that are really overweight, that, you know, 70, 75, maybe they get up to 80. But it seems like after they get to a point, if you're going to stick around any longer, they're going to be thinner.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, that's interesting. Getting back, I cut you off about Kayham. Did you say she's coming back to the broadcast?
No. I mean, I have personal contact with her, and I just reached out to her recently. I'm going to have a chat with her and Max later this week. Hoi polloi.
Hoi polloi. Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah, there's been some Clues Forum basher on your site lately, and I've been responding to it.
Yeah. Clues Forum is, for all intents and purposes, dead without Simon. I know he comes on once in a blue moon, but without Simon, there's no Clues Forum in my mind.
Well, it's not it doesn't have the level of activity. I think it's a really great archive and repository for everything 9/11. Like, if you go through that, and it'll take a while if you're just getting started at this. It took me a while. Once you've gone through even the first part where he has this little expose about the different, debunkable clues and that sort of thing, but you could spend a little time there, and once you come away from that, you're going to know that the videos we saw were not, none of them were organic. And it seems like so many people are still trying to formulate opinions based around what was shown on television. And it's the same thing as, people would be, they would watch Independence Day and, be asking when the White House was rebuilt, how come we don't have pictures of all the construction of the rebuilding of the White House? And you watched a movie. It was creation. It wasn't real. So, but
that is the main idea. That's the main idea of 9/11. I agree.
Yeah. So I listened to this roundtable discussion between the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis. This hasn't been very well publicized, about 2 hours and change, and several doctors and, I don't know, whatever epidemiologist, infectious disease. There were three or four voices inside to him. It's on video, but I downloaded it and listened to it. And there's still more or less within the mainstream idea that the viruses are, as we're told, and that you can get infected. But they differ in the idea that the tests can be accurate basically at all. There was a lot of discussion about the PCR test and the number of cycles and what it's actually detecting. I think,
how many cycles do they do in Florida?
He's talking about 40 or something, which is maybe two. Now, according to SMJ, he doesn't buy Kerry Mullis at all. He thinks he's a total construct.
I agree. 100%.
So
Einstein. He's another Einstein.
So you think this whole
did you hear how Kerry Mullis died last year?
No, I didn't. How did he die?
Pneumonia. And what are we doing? And what is this COVID number one?
So is that to say
number
that
one,
this PCR technology and the idea behind it of amplifying microscopic organisms and to a point where they can be detected?
They're not even organisms. They're particulate.
Particulate, whatever.
It'd be like sand.
Yeah, whatever. We'll call
grains of sand.
I misspoke. So microscopic, whatever, particulates to a point where they can be detected, visually somehow.
I think they're measuring nothing. How's that?
Okay, but you're still, I'm still not quite making myself clear. Is this a completely fabricated idea? There's no PCR anything. You have a box that has a button on it and you put a slide inside it and you press the button and it does absolutely nothing and it generates a random count.
Think they're measuring some kind of particulate in your, whatever they withdraw from you, and everyone has it in them, and it might be something they have no idea how it becomes elevated. They think it's elevated because you may or may not have had an immune response to something. I think it's so broad and so general, and it may be linked to your body cleansing itself at some time in the last 90 days, but it really doesn't measure anything. And they've said that in so many words so many times.
Well, that's the test, but there's a few different things. I'm still hung up on the Koch's postulates, or the Rivers postulates as they've been updated, right? So to my understanding, and according to, nobody's ever claimed Stephen Lanka's 100,000 euro reward to date, that they don't have empirical proof that a virus is transmissible and infectious even, and contagious.
They
extract the virus from the host, cultivate it, insert it into a new host where it causes the exact same symptoms.
Yes.
And then I think they have to do it again to confirm.
And they've never done that. And they've been doing it. They've been trying for 100 years. They take the pus out of they take the smallpox pus out of someone who has it and injects it directly into someone who is not exhibiting symptoms, and nothing happens. And they haven't even tried to do that with COVID. They're not even talking like that at this point, because they can't draw it out. There's nothing to draw out. There's no pus. I think they're saying that there's some lung sepsis or some lung material that they can. I don't know how you can draw that out of the lungs. You can maybe cough up a lung, but
an
open sore is not available.
There's also the story is these viruses are dead. They're not living, but somehow they have agency once they attach to a cell, and they become animate or somehow, and they replicate. Now, they can't see any of this stuff in real time. Whatever they're describing as a virus, if we want to call it particulate matter, waste, exosomes, cellular sloughing off of dead cell, whatever it is, a response to toxicity, they extract this somehow through whatever they're doing, and then it's affixed to a slide and treated with some kind of dye or coloring agent or fixative and all this stuff, so they can measure it in an electron microscope and see it as compared to other stuff. But they can't look and see a virus replicating in real time. That's just
They don't have live microscopes. They don't use live microscopes.
There is such a thing, but it's not that granular.
Yeah, you never hear about it. You never hear about anyone using it. Yeah, I learned about that really from Amanda Vollmer.
I got involved in this probably in mid, like 2005 or 6, when I ran across a guy that was selling these super greens products. Dr. Robert O. Young was this kind of purveyor of the alkaline lifestyle, right? And so he was, I knew way back then about the terrain versus germ theory. And they were all about maintaining the terrain and trying to maintain your alkalinity at 7.65. Now, the conventional science will say that your body will always do that. There's nothing that you can do to alter it. But the problem is that if you're not feeding an alkaline material, then it has to work harder, so it'll extract stuff from your bones and other things and create acid ash and stuff in the conversion. It's not going to happen if you're eating more alkaline. And so I still, even to this day, I drink a green drink several times a day that just is chock full of.
What do you? Several times a day? What do you put in it?
I drink a lot of water, so I just put a scoop of this stuff in a bottle of water and sip on it all day long. And
So it's some kind of powder that's already...
Yeah, it's just a green powder, but it's a really finely concentrated powder made up of all kind of green plants.
They're not dead?
That way I'm ingesting some alkaline material.
All right. Did you ever do a pH test on it?
Yeah, you can do that. You can do, I haven't done it lately, but you can do a urine pH, or there's a blood pH too that you can do, but urine...
No, I meant, have you ever done a pH test of the drink?
No.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't ever thought about doing that.
And is whatever the powder you're putting in, is there anything alive in it? Because I've even been told if you use a blender, you destroy all the components of a plant by heating them up.
Yeah, they were very particular about the type of blenders and the type of juicers to use, like a cold melting juicer.
But you're drinking some dry powder. What is that?
It is.
How can that be alive?
It's dubious.
But is there any new? Is there any nutrition in that? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to assume on the side of caution, if I go even and get packaged head of iceberg lettuce, I'm still going to be better off eating that than a box of cereal, you know? So, I mean, I could be completely wrong about that, but an iceberg lettuce is supposed to be one of those things that has very low nutritional value, and but it's still a plant, and it's still more or less unprocessed for the most part. So, but that could be all superstition. I don't know.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I noticed you disappeared for a second.
No, I just I couldn't hear you after you said iceberg lettuce.
Yeah, they say that's a very low nutritional content food, but I think it's still better than eating a box of cereal.
Yes.
So.
But it might be, there's not a lot of.
But that could be all superstition on my part. Who knows?
No, I've heard the same thing about iceberg lettuce.
I try to eat green, and I try to eat more lean meat and avoid processed crap.
Yeah, seems wise. Just a balanced diet, you'll probably live a long time. Don't smoke, don't drink.
I guess it's more along the paleo, like whatever our caveman people were able to get their hands on once upon a time to eat is probably what we're more adaptable to even today.
Yeah. Well, let's say hi to Vela said he joined in. Hi, Vela.
Good evening.
The lone Australian has arrived.
Yeah, no, I thought I should come represent.
Yeah, I won't ask you because you're in the same country doesn't mean you know where the other Australians are.
No, I don't know what happened. I don't know. I have no idea.
They're not around you, so you can't tell.
They might have gone out to the pub together or something. Noise hasn't been around for a while, so it was only Rick and Rollo. So maybe they were doing something.
That is true. That is true. It's
funny you brought up, too, what Marcus said, because when I was listening to you talking to Walker, I thought the exact same thing. It was weird. It was weird to hear you say that.
You thought that was sounded like Chris?
I'm not saying it's Chris. His voice sounded like Chris if you just pitched it differently. It had all the same tonal quality. Something about it sounded like Chris. It was very weird. And then to hear, and then Marcus said the same thing. I was like, what a weird synchronistic thing to happen that I was just sitting here listening to that not more than 3 or 4 hours ago thinking that same thing. I'm like, this sounds like Chris. That's weird.
Oh, I gotta listen to it. Hold on.
What call is this that we're talking about?
There's a guy called Walker who called the 666 1984 number and spoke to Ab for about an hour.
Okay.
I think it's the most recent release Ab's done on the Fakeologist audio chat feed.
I mean, I almost feel like I remember that name from Chris's show when he would call in and talk to Chris. Am I mistaken about that, or I don't know?
I don't know. I haven't listened to a lot of Chris's shows. I've only listened to some of the most recent ones. Not long before he supposedly fell off the perch. So I don't really know. I don't know much of the Hoaxbusters back catalogue. I've listened to all the Marcus material, which had Chris featuring a lot in it, but not the Chris material featuring Marcus.
what are you talking about when you say Marcus material?
All Marcus Allen shows from back in the day.
Oh, back in the day, yeah.
Around the time Chris was doing all the Hoaxbusters stuff, I'm going like back to 2008. 2008 to 2011, I think. Around the time Chris was doing all the Hoaxbusters talk shows, Marcus was doing them as well. And Chris appears on Marcus's show and Marcus appears on Chris's show. So there was a sort of crossover. You need to have both catalogs to sort of listen chronologically. There's a bit of crossover there. So I'm listening to the Marcus shows where Chris appears, but I'm not hearing in amongst that every week. There would have been, another episode where Chris's show with Marcus appearing. It was a bit of sort of flip-flop. So I've only heard the Marcus stuff.
Yeah, so I'll listen again and see. I didn't hear it even one time. So how could I miss that? I know Chris very well.
It was just a hunch. It was just a weird thought crossed my mind. It was just weird that I thought of it and then you said it, that's all.
Okay. But so you think that sounds like Chris?
It does sound like Chris, as if you just... I don't know, maybe it's just that I've got an ear for audio. Maybe it's just something about the cadence and the quality of the tone or something sounded like Chris, just if you had altered the pitch or something, you know.
Okay, well,
maybe I'm
harsh
too
value
conspiratorial. I heard him chatting away and thought, wouldn't this be funny if Chris called in as Walker, you know, like that seems like the type of thing that would happen. It wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, well, that's really interesting. That, well, Farce Valley has to listen, because Farce Valley is the only one here that's actually met Chris in person.
Okay.
So maybe he would be more qualified. I think he would be the most qualified to comment.
No doubt.
Yeah, I would probably, I don't know, the way, I mean, I remember Chris talking in person is pretty much the way I remember him sounding on his show.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you, I guess your mind does a trick where it accounts for electronic conversion and deconversion. Or
Ed, you're a sound guy. Well, you would be a great arbiter of this question. So I can't wait till you listen and then report back.
Well, what I'm saying is that, just hearing someone in person, I don't know if that's going to be the same thing as knowing for sure that you're here when you hear their voice electronically, it is the same voice that you've heard in person, if that makes any sense, like that.
Yeah.
But I would give it a listen. I just, yeah, personality-wise, you know, the vibe I got from Chris from listening to him and meet him and everything, I mean, let's see, just like a consummate actor, like, in a way that we're like almost like a split personality, multiple personality type person. You know, you have to have a sort of a devious, deceptive nature to be playing this double role where you're at the one time just hanging out with a group of people, enjoying yourself, doing normal things, but you're also some kind of double agent that's got a fake death plan and that's going to go into some sort of op program and you're doing all that. You'd think there might be a hint, personality-wise, that something's not quite right. We're actually off topic, but my wife is running for local election for the city commission in our city here, which is very interesting in itself as far as...
Oh, hold on, after the break.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Can I just ask Velocet real quick? I have my sound turned way up, so that bumper just blasted my speaker. So is Farce Value very low in the volume? Because his tonality is great, but his volume, is it low?
It's hard to tell. I'm on a phone, too. It fast sounds fine, but I don't know. I think the bumpers are a little too loud, probably. You sound balanced compared to fast. Or maybe fast always sounds a little louder. I don't know. Audio hardware.
Oh, okay.
People don't know how to set the fucking inputs on their equipment. That's the problem. Everyone's got to be leveled up for the way Discord works. You can't, you know, you got to transmit at the right volume. Found out people were, like when I talk on my good microphone in the studio, people in JLB calls have been turning me down. You know, you can turn down each participant. That all cranked me down.
Yeah.
And when I appeared on phone, the setting was down, so no one could hear me. I'm like, well, you know, like I've got to fix something up so that it comes in more balanced between phone and the microphone. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the best part about Discord. You can actually change the volume. I noticed that on Zoom calls, Zoom doesn't have that feature, and because Zoom is... this dominant software out of nowhere, it just blows my mind. It's just not good.
I was talking to someone about that the other day. Why do you have, like, this whole, you can work from home, we can all Zoom call. It's like Skype's been around for 20 fucking years. Why is everyone so shocked that you can work from home now? Like, this technology's been here for a long time. Like, we were doing this 15 years ago, we were doing this, and now everyone's so impressed with what Zoom does. I'm like, I'm not getting on Zoom, by the way. I think, from what I've heard, it doesn't sound very safe. It sounds like a risky load of crap to install. I'm just happy with Discord. It's fine by me.
Yeah, that was supposed to be happening in the 90s, actually. That was the promise of the internet and the web and everything.
Can you boost yourself a bit? Because now I hear Velas that you're definitely low. You're definitely low.
I'm just on a regular iPhone. Like, I'm on iPhone with iPhone earphones, and there's no boost or drop. So I should be the gold standard for what an average level should sound like.
You're good. The reason why
Farce
Value is sounding...
I'm going to be a lot louder because I've got it set that way in my setting. You know,
yeah.
The audio input's boosted, not the Discord settings.
Okay. The FARS is low. The only reason FARS sounded good is I noticed I had my
yeah,
volume
when you were
way
talking
up.
With him alone, you would say, yeah, it's not until the bumper came you realized you'd had it way up.
Yes, you got it, buddy. You're the best one to talk to about this, and that's it's a good thing you're here.
Yeah, you just need to boost the input a bit, I guess, and then, yeah.
Yeah. But every time he does it in the past, he distorts the hell out of himself, so...
I was going to send you, too. After we did the tech chat a few weeks back, there were some links I sent through to both of you that had the different products I mentioned, just in case you're interested. I'm going to send you through, Ab, the whole breakaway software package. I think you'll find it quite interesting. I think you could use it on the audio chat. Now you're taking, the streamer bot feed, and then you've got the bumper insertion getting mixed into a...
Yes.
The live feed. I think you can put this software, it's like a service that just runs on your machine. It processes, so it balances everyone out. It's like riding the levels and doing a bit of compression EQ. And that's what I use, and I find it really useful just to, like the feed you hear on, the video version I did that went to FakerTube a week or so ago. That audio feed came out of breakaway processing, which that really just balances everyone out. And if someone's a bit low, it's going to sort of notice and just raise it up. It just irons everything.
Is that Windows? A Windows program?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, please, thank
you
very much.
I know you already had that debate. No, it's a Linux program.
No, but is that, what is that, freeware or what is it?
I'll send you my copy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. Is it a big program or is it something small?
No, it's really, really well built. Very, very small, very useful.
Yeah.
I'll send you the link so you can have a look, and then I'll Dropbox it to you somehow.
So I have to insert, so I'd have to run that in between, well, because I have the output of the Discord bot go right into Audacity, and Audacity records it. So how would I get it in between?
So how's it getting on the stream now? The Discord bot's also going to the stream at the moment, isn't it?
Right. So that audio output goes to the stream and it goes to Audacity for recording. That's what's happening.
But with the ad insertions coming from the same part, you patch that into the same patch point, right?
It goes into the same audio.
Just take that, well, it depends if you want your stream or if you want everything to be processed, including the recording, then just like put it in the middle somewhere. It's just a piece of software with inputs and outputs, and you just have to trade a path to sort of patch it through.
So I need another audio cable, sounds like.
Yeah. Well, this actually comes, this product comes with its own branded version of virtual audio cable. The guys who develop this stuff know each other. They have the same product. So.
Oh, lovely. Thank you very much.
His own virtual audio cables as part of the setup, so it actually installs that with it. And then you can set up virtual audio cables. That's what
How
I
much
was talking
is it
about when I...
How much is it normally?
For the it's designed for FM processing. So it's quite versatile. You pay the sort of individual component. If you want to run an AM station, you pay this much. If you want to run an FM station, you pay this much. If you want each audio, you can run up to 16 instances. So you could have 16 separate stations being processed. And you just pay $30 per. It's like a modular. You sort of say what you need and then he bills you the final thing. For what features you need enabled, but this is the one I was saying. It's compatible with the LiveWire system I use. So my system, it's capable of taking in those network feeds and putting them back out again.
So you just pay one time?
With him, yeah, I think it is. I think it's just a one-off fee. You pick your poison, pay the fee, and then you've got the software.
Yeah, well, how much is it? I'm just curious what that kind of
thing is. Probably for a digital license, probably maybe $350 or something.
All right, that's not bad. As long as it makes a big difference, as long as it really helps.
Well,
listen
to the audio that was on those videos I put on FakerTube when I was live streaming. That audio is coming straight from the processing, so that's what it all sounds like. Just compare that to one of your podcasts, you'd have an idea right there.
Okay, all right.
All your
great.
Audio chats could sound that way.
I'll try it, thank you. Although half the stuff is going through other software now, everyone's doing... different things, everyone's all over the place, so hard to, just everyone's everywhere, Zoom, and I listen to so many Zoom calls now, because I do a lot of YouTube listening now, and just the audios of different people all around the world are, they're so bad. They're just a real strain to listen to, and no one's figured out that, you know, you really have to get a mic and hook a wire to it and hook it up to whatever software, and that's how you talk. That's how people talk. And even these so-called reporters that are at home that work at major broadcasting centers, when they're at home, they're yelling into their microphone on their laptop. They're idiots.
Yeah. But even if people get a mic, they don't. There's no Zoom and Skype or any service for that matter. It's not really. They're not really concerned with the processing and balancing. Everything's just the default sort of whatever it came in as is what it gets sent as. So it's no wonder people have all imbalanced audio. That's what the processing's for on the back end, is to kind of correct that. And I think maybe if Discord platforms, they need to put more effort into some sort of algorithm that can sort of do some detection and gain control for each participant. Because people are never going to figure it out. They don't know. You get a good mic, you get a bad mic. Who gives a shit? It's what your level coming in at is the problem. They just transmit whatever you send. And if you're sending garbage in, garbage out, as they say.
That's why there's something called a sound engineer. He monitors the sound. Nobody has that guy anymore. He's gone. He doesn't exist.
Yeah,
he's not at your house.
I left the industry.
He's
not
at home.
I'm gone now. I'm out of the industry. I do something else.
Yeah, nobody cares. My favorite are the people that have a mic but don't set the input on Zoom and are still being picked up by the mic on their laptop. Those ones really make me laugh really hard because they're so clueless.
Yeah, the room reflection is a real problem with those ambient laptop mics or whatever, too.
Now you sound good.
Yeah, I changed. I finally figured out what had changed in my absence, and... I don't. Sometimes my computer will reboot, and
you're coming through your RLA.
Yeah. So I have a different send for the stream that I do from my phones or the main output or whatever, and I can. But I still don't think my master fader.
What mic do you use with the RMA?
Oh, I got. It's actually a Studio Projects TV-1. I don't think they make them anymore, but I found this guy in California that does mods. It's got a tube transformer and stuff, and he claims that what he does makes it sound like a U87. And
Dr. Dre.
You sound good.
It's pretty
close. You
sound
great.
Oh, U87 amp is like the flagship of microphones for studio vocals.
Yeah, it's that size, it's that size and it's big enough for him to get up and change the element and some capacitors and stuff. I got another one that I want him to do, but he's too busy and I'm too broke, so.
That's the thing with
sounds
audio.
Sounds good, though. Sound great.
Yeah, actually, speaking of sound good, I started downloading the last few IPS broadcasts from SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
And God, man, is the difference, the audio quality is like... His tracks from, the Art of One-Eyed Jack or whatever, man, I can hear, like, acoustic guitars. The bass response is probably, 100 hertz, lower than I can hear, like, on the other. I mean, it sounds fantastic.
So the feed that's going to SoundCloud is better than what goes on YouTube?
Either that or, I have... My phone will play MP4s just like audio files. So, and SoundCloud has a download option for those things. So when you hit download, it just downloads them as MP4. So maybe it's a better bitrate with that, or maybe, I don't know.
It must just be the sound, because it'd be originating from the same place. I'd say maybe just SoundCloud.
YouTube strips it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, YouTube probably just denigrates the signal, or denigrates the file.
Yeah, it's compressing everything down to the point where it's just, not nearly as good.
Sure. Yeah, I usually listen to IPS through the SoundCloud feed as well, but he doesn't always put it there, or
one of those things that's slightly more consistent. At least if you're an audio person, at least you're going to find it. I think his SoundCloud thing's been pretty consistent, whereas the YouTubes and things chop and change where he is. He's just superfluous platforms.
Get to a point where his content was organized chronologically in a way that you knew what was what when you went to grab something, like the most recent 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, well, I'm the one that told him, because he wouldn't even change the file name on the YouTube stream. So he'd have two YouTube streams with different, at different times with the same name. I said, God, can you just at least put the date on it so I don't listen to the same thing, or I know what I'm listening to? So he did do that. He is quite responsive, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying his content. It's very interesting to see the level of kind of scripting.
I haven't listened to him for a week because I've been busy on YouTube. So something has to give. You can't listen to everything.
Yeah, it's a whole other level of moving up the chain of starting to not accept this artificial reality that's sort of, you know, generated for us by the powers. And then he's gone on to trying to, I mean, that's just a given. He's trying to re-engineer it now, reverse engineer it. So, yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, I kind of wanted to get back to that roundtable discussion I heard with the doctors, even though they're kind of accepting of the idea of viruses, you know, settled. There were definitely, because Florida supposedly legally is open again, whatever that means. I'm not quite sure what, I haven't looked at the details, but it's just interesting that I have, like, say, Facebook friends that are leaning to the left side of the spectrum that will, I might have even gone as far as calling the governor a mass murderer, an idiot. He's a Republican, so by definition, he's going to be an idiot and a moron and a grandmother killer. But if you listen to the discussion, he's very well-informed, articulate. He's got terminology at his fingertips. He's got studies. He's got, you know, doctors that well-credentialed that it would be recognized as being at the top of their field in the industry. And I listen to this and I think none of you Facebook friends are anywhere near in the ballpark, probably, of intelligence and rationality that this guy's demonstrating on this roundtable, at least. And it really is that dimension A, dimension B that, you know, they talk about on No Agenda. Like, it just seems to me that the political divide has people that are literally living in two different versions of reality. They can look at, I don't know, a golf ball, and one's going to see it as black and the other one's going to see it as white. And it's like the objectivity seems to be, I don't know, kind of taking a back seat to ideology, I guess. I don't know if it's, if you guys have noticed that level of divide and insanity. No.
I don't know specifically about the political sphere, but I've always seen the two realities. Back when I first smoking weed, like, it's like everything meant two things. Like, all I see now is like there's a dual meaning to everything. Everything everyone says is literally one way, and they're saying, like, people believe the other way. It's bizarre.
Well, see, I guess it's, I don't know what your political system is like there, but so on the one hand, even though I'm sort of not on board with the virus thing, I can see how a physician who's trained and gone through medical school and maybe has some experience with medications that are supposed to treat symptoms and has some success, even though he might not be approaching the problem fundamentally from a more provable standpoint empirically with the virus thing, it's still kind of working. He's like, he's not in on the hoax, let's say. Like, and I think that there's probably a lot of really well-meaning doctors when, if you talk to them and you say, I don't think viruses are contagious, they think you're out of your mind, and they believe it. And I don't know that I'm right. I'm not a doctor, but it kind of makes sense to me. But so you have these guys that are talking amongst themselves, and they're examining the effects of the lockdowns, whether there's any studies that actually show masks do anything. Fact that they're going through the numbers of how the supposed virus has infected people by age group and risk and all this stuff. And then they're weighing that against the consequences of the mitigation measures, locking people down, making them mask up, putting kids in these odd situations that might have some psychological, and they're, they're kind of having a discussion about, well, is it worth it, you know? And now, on the other side of our political spectrum, you're not going to hear that conversation. It's not going to be possible. They're just going to say, well, those people, they're Republicans, they're murderers. And they won't be able to interpret that conversation as anything that makes sense to them, because the rationality is gone, because the ideology is dividing. It's separating them from being able to interpret data and reality like in a rational way, the way I see it, you know? So I don't know if it's as extreme in Australia as it is here.
So you're saying one part of the political, or one half of the political system is saying that, like, assuming the virus, they assume the virus is real, but they're still open to if it's really worth the cost.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to psychologist.com and click the Patreon button under the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
So they're saying it's real, but they're looking at data and the rate of death, whether the tests are accurate, they're discussing that. They're looking at the mortality rate, the odds of dying by age group and whatnot. And then they're weighing that against the cost to society of focusing all your attention on eliminating the virus, which possibly could be done or maybe not. And what is that? What is the cost of that to society in terms of lost jobs and stress and cultural change and no music and no eating, you know, all that kind of stuff? To me, which seems like a very logical and rational approach.
Yeah, I thought you meant, yeah.
But,
and it's completely missing the point. That's the main part of that. That's
no,
why
it still forces you into believing in a virus, but it's a very polar opposite, divide and rule thing. You know?
Ab, I think, I don't know if you missed the part of the discussion I was having. I think there are probably a lot, maybe most, doctors that have come up in this Rockefeller Carnegie-funded medical education system that relies on allopathic medicine that are absolutely true believers that know through their education that viruses do exist. Like, going down that path, I think that's more or less useless.
Yeah, but look at how dangerous it is if they spoke out against it. So if they engage in a conversation with you, counter to the system, what if I decided, well, they're crazy, I can report them to the regulator, and then they're out of a job. So can you see how they're handcuffed in the situation?
Sure, sure.
They can't give their beliefs counter to the system, because the system could throw them out, and then they're out on their own, and nobody wants to be out on their own practicing medicine outside the regulated, government-run, or insurance-based system, because they would be outcasts. And outcasts are not going to make the millions that they need to pay off all their school debt from 20 years before.
Mercedes-Benz.
I was going to say Mercedes-Benz, but I agree. That's the main problem. Everyone's handcuffed.
But I'll count this discussion as a win, as far as I'm concerned, knowing what you just said, like realizing the parameters that they're working with inside of, and saying, okay, at least they're having a discussion about the effects of how they've responded to this thing and whether it's worth it. And they're analyzing the data of how many people, what the mortality rate of this thing, supposed real or not. And they're looking at some reality behind it. Now, the reality is probably nobody's dying from a virus. They're dying from, I mean, my conspiratorial mind thinks it's toxicity. Like, a virus is fantastic cover for a Monsanto or someone that's let some toxic element get into the food supply or something. Like, you can write that off as a virus. Great. They're not even ever going to look for toxicity. They're just going
to
assume.
A virus is the response to the toxicity.
Exactly.
See, they've demonized the response. It's almost like, look, every time there's a crime, the police always show up. These police, we got to get rid of them because everywhere they are, there's a problem. But of course, they're the response to the problem because the problem came first.
You're saying now that all the tests, everything could be based around there is actually something being tested for that's put in by theoretically like Monsanto or something is what causes this result
for the response.
Being tested for. Okay.
Well,
it's here's the thing.
How they get a certain proportion of the population to be test positive is that there is something in our food or something.
The tests are just basically random, positive or negative. They could be adjusted anything.
Well, I think they can vary the cycles to magnify the most infinitesimal particulate in your stream. But I do think they could be, they're probably based on a real response. Our bodies respond to the toxicity and everything based on our own terrain, and everyone's terrain is going
to
be different.
Dialed in
because of
so insignificant
everyone lives differently. I would say if someone in a household, if we all eat the same things, drink the same water, exposed to the same stress, we could have very similar responses to whatever our environment is because we're all doing very similar things. But maybe the one guy that goes out of the household is doing different things, you know, maybe he has a girlfriend or maybe he's eating some crap food out on the road and then he comes back to the house and his terrain is going to be a little bit different than say three other people that are all living in a house for the same amount of time. But yeah, we're just testing for the police, basically. I'm sorry, I cut you off, Alyssa. What did you ask?
No, sorry, I forgot. You're saying it's like dialed because the science is dialed right into a specific thing that doesn't actually matter, right? You're magnifying results that really don't affect humans, yeah?
Well, I think you're magnifying your immune response to whatever particulate that accumulate or are present in your body,
but
or your own immune response
for us. The test is based off magnifying to the point that it doesn't actually affect you. It's just something they can detect.
That's
right.
Right. That
there's
sounds
something
right.
In
that
your
sounds
body
right.
They're calling it a pathogen and an infectious thing, but in reality, it might just be dead cells that you generate as a matter of course all the time anyway.
Yeah, this is just to explain why a test can be positive or negative.
Yes, and that now they are arguing about how many cycles we magnify it to find something, and that varies all the way from 20 to 40, and when you dial it up to 40, you can see just about anything, and then call that positive. That's what they're arguing about now. They've gone so far away from the only argument that matters. Are viruses helping or hindering, and are they contagious? And can they spread? And when you take a virus particulate from one body and put it in another, can it cause illness? And I think the answer is no to everything. And that's the end of the story.
But, Ab, you have
story
to realize that you're talking about an entire industry that's maybe trillions of dollars, who knows, it's held up by those fundamental pillars of viruses existing and the way that they respond to vaccines. Now, what I've heard about the vaccines is the reason that they're so heavily promoted is that other pharmaceuticals, after a period of time, the patents expire and they kind of go into the public domain and can be made generically. And so they're not as profitable. But the vaccines is always a big cash cow for them. So they're always going to keep...
Well, they're all, because the virus is always changing. And the reason I would say, if that is true, that the viruses or the viral response in everyone's body is always changing is because we probably generate different particulates for different situations every single day. So you would never, ever be able to figure out the body's viral response because we're always doing different things, eating different things, exposed to different things at all times. So when you're never going to find a consistent pattern in your body if there are millions of different reactions and variations to the particulate. That's why they could never possibly find a pattern and make something to simulate it or to intercept it or whatever they say vaccines do, because our body is constantly creating a new formula to save our lives and to keep us in balance. So that's the other fallacy, but, you know, it's just, you're fighting trillions of dollars, like you said. And the
Donald Trump had a new post out, a Twitter press release thing, and now this is, mind you, I've caught up with this a couple of days late. This was a few days ago. He's explaining that there's the thing he got treated with, and now he's totally fine. He feels amazing. He feels the best he's ever felt.
Regeneron.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you make of that? What's this all? What's the play here? Why are they bringing up Regeneron? Is this got something to do with the election? Why does he have the solution all of a sudden?
Well, why did he get sick and go in and come back out? Is that what you're asking? There's so
I'm
many layers.
More specifically,
this.
Is Regeneron like that's the real vaccine they want to give people, or is this separate from the vaccine thing? Like, what?
Well, maybe
that's, why is that.
I don't know what Regeneron is. Maybe that's the American version of this so-called vaccine, and maybe that's the one.
Well, he's also been on Remdesivir, which is a.
Oh, that's the one they were talking about. Yeah.
Two of them.
Oh, there's two? Really? There's two that begin with R? Because I didn't even know there was
Regeneron
two.
And Remdesivir.
I was probably mixing them up.
I mean, I think they're different things. I think Remdesivir is a vaccine, I think. I don't know. But, I mean, I look at this as a literary device, a storytelling device, that, and there's, you know, plots and subplots.
No, the name
themes.
Regeneron tells you, like, they're regenerating a new world. That's what it means to me. But...
Mm-hmm.
Like, why does he come out with this all of a sudden? Like, is this what we're going to see where now the military really will mobilize and people are going to get this? Like, what's the point of it?
I think he's just advancing the plot, creating drama. I think the whole idea that he went down, that's to show that anyone, including the most powerful icon in the world, which, of course, we know is a big lie, can get it. That means you could get it if anybody could get it. Then he follows the quote-unquote advice of the doctors, and then he just emerges 3 days later like Jesus, completely regenerated and feeling 20 years younger. Oh, yeah.
That was pointed out on IPS, the 3 days, you know, and resurrected.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it was announced.
Oh,
it was
crazy.
Announced. 33 days prior to the election.
Oh, yeah.
And there was some other 333-something after he was nominated or something. There's another...
Oh, the numbers are endless, aren't they?
I'd be interested to see what happens on the 3rd of November, what that's all about.
But he's also kind of... overweight to an extent. He's 75, so that's in that very vulnerable demographic. So if he comes
out... What are you talking about? He's feeling the best he had in his life. He's very good.
But that's my point. That's the story.
Nobody
now.
Over 70 should be in that job.
Well, the story has been if you're not locked down and wearing a mask, you're a grandma killer. Because if you're over 70, then you get the COVID and you're done. You're a goner. But now, obviously, that's not the case. Look at him. He's 75. He's overweight. A couple of days, 3 days in the tomb, he's back, just like Christ. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
So that's got to change the narrative in people's minds to a degree. Some people.
Well, what do you think of, and IPS also says quite rightly that everything that we see in the media is aligned with our reality, which we get from television. So we watch shows, now we binge watch shows, where we get the entire story arc from start to finish in... either an hour, if we watch a series, in, say, 6 hours. So that is our expectation about how life works. There's a problem, there's a reaction, and there's a solution, all in a really finite period of time. We all know life doesn't work that way. You know, I'm trying to get something fixed in my house. I'd love it if it was fixed in an hour, but it's going to take weeks because of a million different problems to get from problem reaction to solution. That's how real life works. some of the most inane things get in the way of making the story end in a nice way. Because that's life. That's how everything in reality works, but not on the made-for-television reality. And I wanted to point out, this whole Michigan story is driving me crazy, because Michigan is the state nearest to me, and it's sort of my home state. And have you heard that story at all?
Oh, the kidnapping story?
Yeah.
I've gone as far as to look at some of the Twitter videos of the masterminds of this, like the toothless, tattooed people with gauges that talk like, somebody from a Virginia, coal mine reject.
But
it's just comical. It's like, and these are the biggest threat, according to the FBI.
But do you see how the story started a week ago yesterday, where I didn't even hear the story in real time, that Michigan Supreme Court struck down all her rulings going all the way back to April 30th as unconstitutional and outside the realm of what an executive order is. You know, executive orders are really just to change the drapes in the White House or the governor's mansion. They were never meant to become laws as a king would decree.
Are you going down the they were never meant road?
Well, exactly, I am. So let me go back again to the original story. So then on Monday, she comes out, just as I was sort of celebrating the idea that everything she put forth was unconstitutional and therefore nullified. At the same time I was talking to Uncle Odd, she was doing a 3-minute and 33-second video on Twitter saying she doesn't care, she thinks it's a ridiculous ruling, and she's going to use all her powers to just ram all these orders through any way she can, and don't worry, I'm going to save your life because of all my orders. And then all of a sudden it sort of neutralized the whole legislative court process that has been the basis of society for 200 years or however long Michigan's been a state. And then, days later, this whole plot comes out, and it's like a game of tennis. That's literally her throwing the ball back into the "you can't do this" court, because now all the sympathy is going to go to her because they were going to kidnap her and they were stalking her vacation home, wherever that is, and oh my God, anyone that is against what she's doing is aligned with the Wolverine Watchmen, WW, it's unbelievable. So they blackwashed with this operation all the people that are against her acting as a dictator and unconstitutionally. It's just, it's PSYOP after PSYOP. It's so impossible for the average person to fight. It's overwhelming.
That's why we need at the round table. The little kids round table, damn it.
Oh, there he is. Hi, Oddball.
Good morning, everybody.
Can you pass the salt, Uncle Ed?
I can pass the salt. And
pass
one day
the gravy.
And one day soon, I'm going to cut some ropes. I'm going to do a magic trick for everyone on air. You're going to love it. Promise.
But Uncle Odd, what do you think of that? Did you hear the whole Michigan story? How it's gone, how the whole thing has gone back and forth in 1 week. You know, you had me all happy for a day, and now look where we are.
Look, you can't you cannot deny that these BDBs, the Babylonian Druid bastards, you cannot deny that they aren't pretty damn smart. I mean, they're playing chess, and they have a lot of money, and they control the media. And so, it's not a surprise. I think the battle begins. I was thinking about this morning. I'll run it by you guys. I was thinking, what actually is the purpose of these masks? Because it is obvious that 99% of the population, at least, are drones, man. They're just order takers. They just don't think. No critical thought. So I was thinking, well, what is it behind that? And here's my... What are the masks accomplishing for the Druids? And I think it's three things. The first one is it initiates trained compliance for what's coming. So this is this is the precursor. This is the mask is the training wheels for the people to get in line for their vaccination, I think. So that's one.
Yeah.
Two, the purpose is to not protect you, but to...
Oh, no, hold on.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Sean from California.
Fakeologist.
Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Okay, sorry. You're on
no
a Roswell.
That was the most painless one I ever heard.
That was painless. The purpose is to actually assist in the projection of COVID deaths, meaning these masks, because you're inhaling your own CO2, you're inhaling bacteria into your lungs. It is absolutely attacking your immune system. So this, the second purpose is to make you sick. To just over time, this is going to make people sick. So when people ultimately do start getting what we know will be sick from wearing a mask, they'll be able to blame that on COVID. And the third is it is a persistent, perpetual fear reminder. Everyone is advertising this fucking boogie disease. Every time you look at someone, your brain is like Pavlov, right? It's Pavlovian. Every time you see someone with a mask, you're like, oh, he's protecting me and protecting himself. I got to protect him and protect myself. We got to, you know, band together and do our part. All that bullshit. Man, it's only going to be when the fucking COVID activists, which are all of us talking on this, speaking right now, get out and start having some fucking conversations with people saying, do you understand that these masks are accomplishing three things? And if you can, within a conversation, a succinct conversation, just drop those three nuggets, which is, you know what the real purpose of these masks are? And they say with a dumb look, no. Well, first of all, it's to make you sick. The studies are in. The studies are out. And you know this. You're a smart person. Please tell me that you've worked this out. You know that these masks, when you breathe your own CO2, you are living it, dude. Tell me you don't get headaches throughout the day. Tell me you haven't started to get more coughs and stuff. Because when you wash your hands and when you wear your mask all the time, you are actually fighting against your immune system. You're defeating your own immune system. So it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy when you get sick. Don't blame it on COVID. Blame it on this damn mask. And so do yourself a favor and just do some research. That's A. Second, it's just training you to be compliant, dude. Stop with this, because when you see people who aren't wearing a mask, I'm telling you, those guys are the people who have done the research, who know how harmful these masks are, and this is just setting the stage for what they ultimately want, which is to put a freaking needle in you with vaccine that will make you sick, that will make your girlfriend sterile, that will make you sterile, that will make your kids sterile, whatever. And the last thing is, you're just advertising fear, and fear also attacks the immune system.
Yeah.
So take the fucking mask off. Those are the conversations I'm going to start having.
I didn't hear the fourth option where you talk about how masks are symbology of unveiling and change.
Say that again, Belichick.
You make everyone mask up during a period of transition and change, and then they
unveil the new world
when the masks get removed. We're talking eyes wide shut kind of stuff here, you know?
Yeah, very good.
And when you think about trained compliance, think about, whatever you believe about the Holocaust, right? I think history does say that there was great discrimination towards the Jews, and they put them in these neighborhoods, right, before they shipped them off to the alleged camps. I don't want to go there because I just don't know. But
the fact is,
the ghetto...
You're not going to get banned from Faker Tube as well.
The ghettos, that was a form of compliance where they wore their little star and all of that. They went peacefully. So what I don't underestimate anymore is the resolve of the sheep. The resolve of the sheep is very powerful with their blank thought bubbles above their head, man. They'll just go anywhere that the TV tells them.
Yeah. You're on point today, Ott. I agree with all that. And that deserves a sticker or a meme. You should definitely do that up. I like that a lot.
You missed our conversation earlier, and I dropped this into the chat, this YouTube, the roundtable DeSantis had with all these doctors and everything.
When was that? I haven't heard about it.
On the 24th, it's worth listening to. It's over 2 hours. I listened to the entire thing. And in actuality, the discussion sounds like our discussion, one level below where they're not to where they would say a virus doesn't exist.
Can you do me a big favor? Because I won't go back to this in any show notes links. Can you email a link to that to uncleod333@gmail.com? I would really appreciate that because I'll listen to every word of that.
And so that was the day before he came out with the decision to open the state up, and that I think it was kind of a setup where he was kind of covering himself for saying, look, I've got Harvard, Stanford, XYZ, all these leading professionals in their field, well-credentialed experts, and this is what they're saying, and this is what I'm using to make my decision. And it was a very rational and very, what I would consider to be reality-based, as far as the effects, whether masks are worthwhile, whether lockdown works, there's no evidence of any of this. They're coming right out and saying all of it. The only thing that's different is they still think the viruses exist, but they're not nearly as deadly and as serious as we've been led to believe, and there's no need to be doing all this stuff. So
Exactly. But I think to attack the thought bubbles above the sheep's heads, You can't go all the way there, right? The viruses don't exist. I think you got to make it personal. That's why I think my aha this morning about being able. Yeah. I've been fighting on how to have conversations with normies about this at the gym when I see these douchebag 20-year-olds wearing their masks working out when they don't have to. And so I think if you walked up and say, hey, you know this boogie virus doesn't exist, right? it just will break their brain. They just can't process. But if you can make it personal and you can make them think about breathing in their own bacteria, actually bacteria shit, because they shit in your mouth, you breathe it in your mask, and then you breathe that back in willingly into your lungs, and that's going to contribute to bacterial pneumonia. And so when you do
I
get
love that.
Sick,
I love that. That's so
yeah.
right. So right.
Yeah.
I would like to say that your interview with John J. Singleton, I heard about you talking. It was on this podcast I heard you talking with Ab about it. That's why I went and listened to it, and I thought it was very enlightening. And, it was a very good interview, so congratulations.
Thank you. John J. is really good. There's another interview that I'm having Ab and I are having tomorrow morning, which is going to be, now I can't live stream because I'm a bad boy and I've been booted off of YouTube for 2 weeks. But we are going to figure out how to say that.
You can, if you start a new YouTube channel today, I think you can live stream to that. So.
Oh, good point. Okay. Valid point. We will live stream it then. Good point. But I am going
of course
to,
you will.
But this, and we will live stream it. I'll finally figure out. I'm real close to live streaming to FakoTube. But we're gonna speak with John Singleton, who has been banned from Twitter because he's so over the target. He's from Sweden, and he is so freaking well researched and smart, and he's plugged in with all of those doctors and everything. He's on all their Zoom calls. I mean, we're talking about the real leaders of this activist movement against mass and this NWO. And so I really look forward to that because that's going to be very enlightening because they talk about my favorite question, who are they? And they have, and this is where I'm going to question him on this. Apparently there are 12 Venetian families, and they have been arrested. And apparently, the Pope has been arrested. Apparently, there's lots of people who have been arrested. Now, to me, that all sounds like Q conspiracy bullshit, but there's enough...
Me too.
There's enough people who are smart, who seem to have an inside track. Who knows, right? Who knows, but we can ask the fair questions, which we will tomorrow. But there's so many of those kind of nuggets that are coming out that that leads you to believe there is a good side to this fight, you know, at a high level, which is encouraging. But I think we got to start at the lowest rung of the ladder, and that's the person that we see who might have their mask pulled down under their nose because they fucking can't stand wearing it. But maybe you can give them some encouragement to where they'll just take it all the way off with you as an example. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch between the Venetian families and pulling the mask down, but...
No,
okay.
The Venetian families is top down, and I'm submitting that no one on this call is going to be able to have any kind of impact to that level, but that doesn't mean we can't do our part, me thinks.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. Usually not on Saturday mornings. Why isn't anyone drunk on this call?
Because they're still in the bar.
Yeah,
they didn't come out.
That would be the only likely candidate because it's evening there, but
okay.
He's the only Aussie here, so.
Man, what happened to the Aussies?
I told you. I don't know what happened. I don't know where they went. None of my business.
Okay.
They didn't report in this morning for duty, and they didn't leave a forwarding message, so we have Farce came inquiring as to what's happening. So I said, Farce, you don't get much time, air time, so let's go. Let's have a chat. So Farce and I have been chatting, and Bellaset came along.
That's awesome.
And then you dropped. So we've had lots of Farce this morning, which is great. He's got a good mic, even though he's a little low right now.
Farce instead of Fop.
Yeah, it's the Farce podcast.
Hey, Bellaset. Hey, Bellaset, is there any hope over in Australia based upon what you see empirically?
I don't see much empirically. I've been on leave from work for 3 weeks. I just sit around the house. I don't really go out, so it's hard. I don't know. I don't know if what's happening in Melbourne is even real. I don't know. I'm not there, you know.
Okay. Got it.
I know the work situation when I left was like very rare amount of people wore masks, but everything here in the suburbs seems pretty relaxed. You know, if I go up just to go do the grocery shopping or something, no one seems to give a shit. It's business as usual with a few extra stickers. It's no big deal. So I don't know how they can get away with such severe stuff in Melbourne. I'd be interested to see it for myself to know how severe it actually is, because Aussies are just acting like Aussies. There's nothing particularly unusual about it.
Okay. I believe that it's as draconian as they say, just because when I look around here and I see all of the people who are compliant, it wouldn't take much for the TV to tell them that they have to do what they are doing in Victoria for them to comply for that too. That's why I think the masks are trained compliance. And I think that, I really think there's something to the UN cities being the ones that, that are experiencing the really, really draconian, action.
Let me ask you about Sprouts. So I noticed in that video, the manager already knew your name. So did you email Sprouts beforehand to explain that you'd be coming to the store, or have you had some sort of legal thing with them before where you explained that you shouldn't be able to wear a mask and that's why they knew who you were? Why is that?
Great question. No, I my wife sent me on an errand when I was coming back from the gym and said, hey, can you stop by Sprouts and pick up some of those good cookies? And so I walked in and I did my thing, you know, and the girl up front, she just literally started chasing me as I went past her, like pointing to me, and the cookies were right there. So I took the cookies, and I just bulldozed my way to the checkout. And at that point in time, the person at checkout was like a, you know, deer in the headlights. Yeah. And she didn't know what to do. So she
what I'm trying to ask is what do you think the outcome would be is if you never had a badge or a sticker or any paperwork and you just showed up as a regular civilian without a mask and just went through, what do you think that would be like versus ringing them ahead of time, having a paper trail that you don't have to wear a mask, and then showing up with all your lanyards and things? What do you think they're like, you know, maybe the lanyards are actually sort of tipping people off to cause a fuss, where maybe if you just showed up and just went in, there wouldn't be a problem at all?
Not at Sprouts. Sprouts is, in the U.S., I think, has it right to where they choose certain entities or organizations or cities to be the draconian drug lords that do the overreach. So Sprouts is
They're the test. You guys test everywhere.
So they have their orders to where there is no, nobody can go in without a mask. And so they fight
strict enforcement.
And they will call the law. And so if I was just a normie without, I mean, look, Velicet, I go in with all my ammunition. Shit, the video you saw, I had my whole folder with me that had everything in it. Even the letter that I sent prior to their legal department and their bullshit response back, everything I had with me. And it didn't help at all. They still wouldn't serve me. So there's, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're armed or not. They are going, they're not going to let you shop in there.
Well, I look at it as overarching. We're in a culture war of objectivity versus subjectivity. And
that's interesting.
The numbers out now, the mortality rate for 2020 in the U.S., and this is published by the CDC. What you think of them, it doesn't matter because they're the ones that have driven this whole narrative anyway.
Absolutely.
In conjunction with the WHO. So if you're going to be wearing a mask because of the CDC, you're implicitly saying that you recognize them as some sort of authority on these figures. They've come out with data that says the overall U.S. mortality rate is on track to be lower than it was in 2019 and 2018. Overall.
That's a great point. The
round table I pointed you has the governor saying that we've overdone this. We're going to loosen things up. None of this stuff, there's no studies that prove any of this stuff works. As far as what we can tell from objective reality, none of us have any friends that are dropping like flies. I know a couple of people that have claimed to have had it.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm just telling you that my daughter got really sick and she got tested against my will and it came back positive. So I am now through my trial period where I think I'm 14-0 over the COVIDs. So this is not super contagious because it does not exist.
Well, so I won't argue that these people are suffering from something. I'm not convinced it's a virus, as we're told, but regardless, you know, let's say it is as they say. Well, the numbers don't support all the measures, that the dramatic change on society. As far as overall everything we can tell about this year, in reality, it's the same as any other year, except
correct,
for the media push. So that's the thing I'm talking about that's pushing people into this world of subjectivity where they cannot analyze five-sense reality on their own, and then they can only have their reality mediated by these personalities, by Fauci.
That's a great
and
point.
Limits. Now, there's still a group of people, I think, that I would consider us and maybe even those that aren't going as far as to say the virus doesn't exist, that have some connection with objective five-sense reality that are not necessarily ready to go along with, hey, I'm going to live in a world where the world is what they say it is. But
right,
I think that's a big battle right now in the minds of people. And I see a lot of people that live in the subjective reality that's mediated to them by the media, by news and authority figures. And that's the world that they accept and believe. And From what I can see, cracking that that system of belief is very difficult from my perspective.
Well, you know, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, really.
8 o'clock.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Open your eyes.
I want to live a real life. I don't want to dream any longer.
Go ahead. I was going to say, this sickness becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy for a couple of reasons. One that I mentioned earlier is just, I think, wearing the mask makes you sick and will make you sick. But second, because of the absolute onslaught of programming from the TV, they get people to think, for example, my daughter, the first fucking thing that she and my wife, sorry, Yana, and my wife said, well, this has to be real because she's lost her sense of smell and taste. She can't taste anything. She can't smell anything. You know what? I would venture to guess that if you went back 2 years and if any of us got sick or anybody else did, and somebody asked the simple question, hey, is this impacting your taste and smell? Do things smell as good as they do? I think we all probably would have thought about it and said, yeah, I kind of can't taste things. But that's the hypnosis the TV puts people
on. You know, it's very interesting because I had a little flu-like symptom that wasn't very serious at all. I got a little run down for a couple of days, and I did lose my sense of taste and smell. And I kind of noticed it, and I actually went to the trouble of checking it by getting a box of incense that's very pungent. And I'm like, well, I can't smell it at all. And but you know what? Now that I think about it, if I would have done that a couple of years ago when I was sick, I probably would have got the same result. But it wasn't in my mind to go that far to see how affected my sense of smell was. I probably it was gone for a couple of days and I didn't think much about it, and then it came back, you know?
Absolutely, but that's the psyop, right?
Right,
I think there's somebody someone was at a whiteboard in this DBD, or what is Druid Babylonian Bastard meeting. I think that they were at a whiteboard and they said, okay, now we're going to do a campaign on this to where we're just going to hammer that they're going to lose. It's hypnosis. If you tell them 100 times over 3 days that they are going to get sick and they are going to lose their taste and sense of smell, that's what's going to happen because they are hypnotizing you on the TV. That's why the only place you catch this virus is from the TV.
Well, I think that's been a big part of the PSYOP is I compare it in a way to the mass shootings in terms of effect because it's the random nature and over, you know, the reach, the penetration into society as far as who can catch it. Like up until these mass shootings, if you stayed out of sketchy neighborhoods, if you weren't involved in drug dealers, if you were some kind of sketchy...
Stayed out of school.
Or, you know... yeah, I mean, the chances of you getting shot, and then you look at the idea that most murder victims have criminal records themselves, and that's pretty well contained within the criminal underworld with the occasional random normie getting caught up in it. But you get a mass shooting and all of a sudden everybody everywhere is in danger at any time. You're not safe anywhere at any time anymore. Cause
that's right.
The bullshit shooter can walk in and start taking people out and what are you going to do? And
that's
so
right.
The virus is the same thing. You know, it's like you take care of yourself.
Oh, it's brilliant.
You're gonna have a flu. And
it's brilliant.
So yeah, that's, they've managed to get that so more widespread than even the mass shooter. I mean, that's like, even then, you know, the guy walks in.
Well, and the brilliant part of their plan is they turned healthy people into silent assassins as asymptomatic carriers. That was a brilliant.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Well, no, the virus, they've made the virus everywhere. It's in the plant. It's in the air. It's in you. It's in the trees. It's on the ground. It's under your feet. It is everywhere. You can't escape. You can't hide. There's no country. There's nowhere you can go to get away from it. It's all pervasive. It's the universal ubiquitous threat that only Bill Gates or Klaus Schwab can get rid of.
Yeah, sorry guys, I just about hit somebody, lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
Don't hit anybody. That would really hurt.
Yeah,
everyone. Are you driving with your wife this morning?
No, I'm driving my huge dog to get groomed.
To get his manicure.
It's a big job. Yeah, it takes about 6 hours, so that's why I told you I was going to have some good drive time today to be able to chat.
Oh, I thought you were. I thought you said you were driving your wife around.
No, I'm driving. I'm helping her do her job today in the 6 hours I have to wait for Zammy to get groomed.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
How much does a six-hour grooming cost?
With tip, because she is so awesome and I suck. I've sucked because I've been so busy this month with doing the daily care grooming. It costs usually $120, and then I give her a $50 tip.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that include a haircut and a shampoo and a blow dry and everything?
And a reach around it. I forgot to tell you about that, you know.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about the dog.
Oh!
What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were... Yeah, no, the dog's $30. Yeah, I'm kidding. Yeah, no, it's... But keep in mind, I mean, there was a day before COVID's where his brand was that big, beautiful, floofy hair, and the kids just loved it. You know, that's how he got to...
Tell me that the groomer doesn't wear a mask or they don't put a mask on Zammy.
They don't put a mask on Zammy, but she puts a mask on herself because they have to.
For grooming?
Hey guys, I got to sign off and move on.
Yeah.
To stay.
All right.
It's been great.
Nice chatting with you, Forest Value.
Forest Value, you're awesome. Thank you so much. And good talking with you.
Yeah, check your email, and I dropped a couple of links in the chat. One of them is just pure comedy genius, I think.
Good.
Kirby Jenner on Instagram. If you haven't seen him, it's totally off topic, but I think it's the
And join Telegram. Join the Telegram
group. I'll do that.
Parse.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Later.
Awesome.
There you go.
Awesome. That's great.
By the way, Uncle Odd, Telegram, I told you Apple is kind of after Telegram now.
Yeah.
And also, I joined, everyone seems to be using it. I seem to be riding a trend here. The Alphavetic podcast, which had Tom Barnett and somebody else on. He was calling out, he has a Telegram, and I joined it. He's 1,000 people on his Telegram. So,
wow.
It's pretty busy. It's really busy, and it seems like a great way to cross-pollinate as well. And
it's
it seems more, I don't like to use the word immune, but it seems more immune to being deleted or persecuted again. So it's,
one-on-one. It seems one-on-one, meaning people who are in those, they are of the same mindset, you know, so you don't, it doesn't seem like it's invaded with trolls. But I don't know, if somebody comes in, can you, as an admin, block people?
Get rid of them?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. There's so many features that I just, the Alphavetic Telegram has a lot of neat little plugins in it. So there's so many things you can do within the group that I didn't even know existed. So
wait a minute. There's a different Telegram, or you're talking about it's the same Telegram? What's Alphavetic?
Alphavetic is a podcast.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
They have a group, like Uncle Odd has a group, like Fake College has a group. But within their group, they have a bunch of software additions to Telegram to allow you to do a lot of administration. So I'm pretty sure the answer to your question is yes. You probably can do a million different things within the group. I don't even know what half of them are. It's just like software is always, they seem aggressively developing Telegram, which means it's good news if you want lots of new features. So yes,
that's
sure you can do just about anything that I don't even know about. So I think it's pretty powerful.
Man, this I'm so frustrated with this new YouTube that it's not, what the hell is it? Not
brand new YouTube?
Brand new tube. That's what it's called. Brand new tube. I'm so frustrated because it looks like it's perfect, a perfect alternative to YouTube, but you can't upload a video. It's like, it's not intuitive at least. I got everything set up, and if anybody is smarter than me who actually uses it, I would really appreciate some guidance
I'll guide you.
Okay.
Stick to and stay with FakoTube. Let's get that going. That's got your your name all over it. Let's see how far. Forget wasting energy on all these other platforms. I advise let's get FakoTube going.
Good idea. Good idea.
Let's invest time in that. And the only extra platform is just get other YouTubes going at the same time so you can keep fishing and growing and put all these people into your Telegram. Bring them over to FakoTube. There's becoming an infinite number of other video platforms. You may as well deal with one that I'm working on myself and I can give energy to, because I'm not going to go to brand new tube and try and figure that one out. And the other thing is, if everyone goes over there, then they're going to have severe strains on their resources. And unless they are a multi-million-dollar company, there is no way their hardware is going to be able to scale. So if all these truthers go wherever they go, that company has to be able to scale very quickly, because otherwise it'll collapse.
I don't really see
the benefit. Google has infinite resources. They could scale to the moon and back. But these other companies, we don't even know who's behind them. At least we know there's some scalability on our platform, because I've told you the prices and the limits, and if there's only you and me and maybe a couple other select few streaming, then we're pretty much have our own dedicated hardware, so we're probably not likely to collapse.
And you know what, Ab? What is a really good soundbite from a promotion perspective is, instead of bitching, and I give you 100% full credit, instead of bitching about being deplatformed, you built your own. You're like, you know, that's the solution. If people just say, okay, fine, people really like our message, we'll find ways to let them know where we are, where we built our home, but we built our own platform.
Resistance is always going to be underground anyway. The resistance in all the wars was not, they didn't get ad space in the main papers and 100 years ago. They were underground, and it's called the resistance for a reason. If you really think we're going there, which is sure as hell looks like it with the internment camps and the concentration camps being tendered for now in Canada, I don't care. That's the best. Then we're not going to be talking much longer anyway. I'll be living in your basement in Florida. Yep.
And you know, in Florida, we don't have basements, so you're really fucked.
Just give me a minute.
All right. I gotta go.
All right, I'm back. Hi, Bing. Bing is here, and so is Missum. Hi, guys.
Hello.
And we lost Uncle Odd. He's gone.
Yeah, I was actually just going to... I thought I heard him talking about having a Discord server now. I was going to see if how you get that or what the link is. Is that something he's got?
Yes, I don't know what it is either. I heard him say the same thing.
I just missed him.
He should be back. Probably just went in to take his dog in. How you been? Are you working today?
Just working around the house. We just moved into a new place and... lots to do.
Oh, nice.
So,
you're in Indiana, I believe, right? The vice president is your ex-senator, or what was he?
Governor, I think. Yeah, pretty sure.
He was a governor?
I believe so. I could be wrong, but... Mitch Daniels, he was one of them before that, I think. I don't know. Maybe he was a senator. I really don't pay too much attention. I used to, but now that I think about it, you might be right, Senator. I remember hearing him when he was dumping for Sarah Palin back whenever that was, 2008, somewhere in there. came to our town.
Hmm.
I know people that know him personally, and they say he's a super nice guy, but...
I'm sure he is.
Yeah. He believes in outer space, I guess.
I heard he was a radio show host. Did you ever hear that?
I haven't. I do remember at the time that I heard him in that speech, I was still kind of involved in, you know, Republican politics or whatever. Back then, listening to the likes of Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and that, and we went to see the rally, thousands of people, and he was a really charismatic speaker. I mean, he was really a talented speaker, I can tell you that. And even at that time, my wife would said, you know, he's just a politician. And it kind of, you know, a little bit upset me just because I thought, you know, I really believed in it at that time. And but
you should believe in yourself, not others.
Yeah.
Why do you need to believe in a politician? What good is he?
Right. Yeah, a lot's changed since then, that's for sure, in my view.
He's not going to feed your family.
Right. Yep, that's why I guess these days I just stay totally out of it. The whole soap opera. I guess it's entertaining. We used to watch that show with the Trump was in The Apprentice or whatever.
I never watched it. So. I've been researching since 2012. That really takes all your time.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing. That's what I appreciate about your site, especially, is I just don't have the time to do that kind of...
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, well, I try my best, and I have enough spare time. I'm not doing swinging hammers, maybe like you are, so there's less time to watch a video or listen. But I have more spare time than what I do, and that's sort of why I keep the job I do. I have more time to listen, at least.
Uh-huh. I've heard you talk in the past about how the, you know, eventually in 10 years or whatever, there's going to just be groups of, like, almost like large groups of states, sections, or not sure what you call that.
Agenda 2030, Agenda 20, America 2050.
Is that what it is? Because I was just looking up the thing that, I think it was Singleton on that interview that Todd did, at the end there, he was talking about the Holy Order of the Sepulchre or something, and all those... The way it's broken down, the lieutenancies, I mean, is that something that's it's kind of tied in with that? Or it was just, it seemed to me that was the same type of, like, breakdown that you had described in the past, I guess, geographical.
I guess there's parallels. There's probably lots of corporations that are organized in such a fashion. Governments are just corporations.
Yeah.
There's regions. I guess the bigger the corporation, the more regions, regional managers. So,
right. Yeah.
I don't see any difference. Anyone that's looked at a corporation knows how it's organized. The bigger it gets, the more layers you need. But
yeah,
I think the bottom line is
The other thing I noticed just looking at my particular region is.
I'm reading the end of it, and that's all, folks.